Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, August 6th. We're back with you like we are every morning. And today we have a new guest co-host, Elizabeth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam.
Of course. Thank you for coming back. We met last week and you seemed like a happy person. And I like happy people.
Yes, I'm very happy. So it's with a good, lot to right? say.
Good. Well, that's where you do it. That's where you talk is right here, you know. We also have an awesome guest in the studio. She'll be joining us in just a moment. If you want to watch us, let me remind you, we are on Facebook Live today. Go to LA Talk Radio's page. You'll see us there. And you can like us and not like us and all that stuff.
They're going to love us.
Yeah, exactly. There's no unlike button, but there's no thumbs down button either. But maybe they should have one, no? I don't know. Man, how are you, Elizabeth?
I'm doing great.
So are you an LA native?
No, I have been everywhere. I'm originally a Jersey girl.
Oh.
Yes, okay. I'm Cuban-American.
Oh.
And I moved out here from Miami.
Uh-huh.
But I've lived everywhere. Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you spent, how come, I mean, was that on your own or with your family? Or?
No, my stepfather was a casino dealer. So we moved wherever, like they were going to open a casino in Guatemala, then they were going to open in Dominican Republic. His uncle owned a hotel. So,
yeah.
And I graduated high school in Vegas, so I've been everywhere.
Oh, wow. I graduated high school in Vegas,
did
too.
Did you really?
I did.
What school did you
but
go to?
But it had to be before you, because you're obviously much younger than I am.
I don't know about that.
Well, no, you are. Everybody's younger than I am. Are you kidding me? I used to be the youngest in the room. Now, not so much. So, what year? In Vegas, I think it was 78. You know, I grew up in the 70s in Vegas.
Right.
I lived there for about 5 years. It was the biggest partying town in the country, probably.
Oh, yeah.
We were having a blast, I'm telling you. I was 17, 18 years old. So, yeah, but you graduated. Oh, but what school? I went to...
Clark.
You went to Clark?
N.W. Clark. Where did you go? Did you go to my rival?
No, I went... Yeah, probably like Chaparral. Today it's like shitty areas. There used to be good areas back then.
Yeah, you know? They're really bad schools now is what I'm hearing. Hey, they got bad after we left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we fixed the town. You guys messed it up again. What years did you live there?
I lived there, oh my God, in the like...
80s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like mid to late 80s.
So how did you end up in Vegas? Also because of the being a dealer?
Yeah, my stepfather worked in the casinos.
That made sense.
I worked at the MGM Grand Hotel.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I was front desk, and I met the coolest people. I love to be around people, and I remember like meeting this great boxing promoter, Dan Goosen, and he was amazing, and just like met a bunch of cool people in Vegas,
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
So, and you've been in Latin America, several countries and stuff, so.
Several. Yeah, Miami, I think, was probably the wildest place I ever lived.
Really?
Oh, yeah, hands down. Vegas,
Nothing compared to Miami, no. huh? Wow.
Not in the 80s.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah, because I've been there a couple 90s. Times. I mean, it's nice, you know, but I didn't see a lot of partying. But then again, you know, it's a big city, a lot of stuff going
on.
Here,
well, South Beach.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this reminds me, we're talking about Miami. I've been listening to the song. Sometimes I get songs on my mind and stuff. Let me play you this song. Tell me if you know it, but I discovered it on Spotify, right?
Right.
And so it suggests like songs to you that you don't know.
Okay.
Or that you haven't heard in a while or whatever related to what you like. So it suggested this one. I'm like, wow, I love this song. So I said, it must have come out like maybe a couple of years ago because it's probably not new, right?
Right.
So I'm looking on YouTube. It's got 400 million views.
Oh, my God.
So obviously it's been around for a while.
We're late in the game,
right?
Sam.
So I'm like, I'm late to the party.
Hey, but at least you got to the party.
Exactly. You know, but I gotta play you just a few notes of this song because it's amazing. Hold on, it starts with a video. Tell me if you know this.
Yes, I know this song.
Do you? Señorita. Yes. Oh, good. So it's been around, right?
Yeah.
Señorita. Always I could pretend I didn't.
I love
it. It's like playing in my mind all day.
La la la. It's true.
Yeah, because he talks about landing in Miami. That's why I was thinking of it.
Yes.
That's what the song makes you think of,
it
right?
It is. Yes. Oh, there you go. Very tropical.
For those who want to know what song this is, it's called Señorita with Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello.
I love it. Sam, this is the way to start the
right,
morning.
That's why I freaking do a morning show. Are you kidding me? If I didn't know what to do, I wouldn't be. Well, Elizabeth, we'll get to talk more about you and stuff, but I do want to bring on our guest right now.
Absolutely. I love her name.
Especially when we're on Facebook, you know, it looks kind of funny when the guest just has to sit there and listen to you, but hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
You enjoyed us.
Of course.
Get closer to the microphone. And we're joined by another Elizabeth. Elizabeth Pearson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. Let me turn it up a little bit for you. And you drove all the way up from, what'd you say, Laguna?
Laguna, yeah.
Laguna, wow. For those who don't know, it's kind of far.
It's a schlep.
Yeah, it is with driving, it is, right?
I know, but with Audible, I feel like any traffic scenario can be pleasurable and you can learn something. So
right.
I just listened to a great book.
Yeah.
Ah, perspective.
You see,
yeah.
Sometimes positive people can really, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
sometimes I wish I could be as positive because I grew with two negative parents, you know. So I got used to like always being a pessimist and stuff. But so I've had to work hard on looking at things a positive way. Now, you tell us what you do before we go on.
Well, so I am an executive career and life coach for, I call them powerhouse women, typically in male-dominated fields.
Oh.
Yeah, so
I'm loving this already. Yeah. Sam, you're in trouble.
Yeah, well.
So
She's not afraid.
Yes. No, so my whole career was, you know, spent in sales. And I worked for Vitamin Water and Coca-Cola and these wonderful brands. And the common thread among my whole 15-year sales career is that a lot of times I was one of or the only woman at the table,
yeah.
You know.
Or male-dominated industry,
right,
sales.
The business dinners, things like that. And I found myself trying to morph myself into being one of the guys.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's actually counterproductive. Because women are being hired for their unique perspective.
Right.
So
you don't want to be like the guys.
They don't want you to.
Right.
So you can be fun and cool and all of that stuff without trying to, you know, be inauthentic.
Right.
Because people can see that.
Right.
So I work with women that are typically director to C-suite level in big companies, and they're typically the only woman at the table.
Okay.
And they're struggling to kind of balance, you know, personal life as well as advance in their career. So I work with them on that.
Wow. So there are that few in high management, in top management, few women? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it depends on the industry, but definitely a lot of clients are in tech, and they're in sales and things like that. So, yeah, in those...
Tech is male-dominated.
Totally.
And, wow.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Is it because... well, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, think...
Well, I think it varies, obviously, by company. Some, you know, like Google has more women, things like that. So it is getting better. But I just think the expectations on even children, boys and girls in high school and things, what they're going to be emphasizing their studies on.
Right.
Men, it's very much, you know, science and math and a lot of these things. And it's not always that way for the girls. So I think what we're seeing now is kind of the product of that. But what's wonderful is that it's changing. There's all sorts of wonderful programs that encourage girls to get involved in STEM and things like that so that they can start being
scientists. So what you're saying is it's because there's not a lot of available women for those industries? Or is it So it's not like intentional sexism, right? No. That's not what you're talking about.
No, I don't think so.
Right. It's just that there's not a big pool of women to choose from when you hire for those companies.
Right.
Because they're not encouraged to get into STEM.
When they're growing up, that's not really the thing that they were most encouraged to look into.
Right, right.
Robotics and things like that.
I think things are changing, though, now. There's 100%. An awareness that's like, what would you say is the number one problem or the number one issue that women face in a male-dominated industry? Is it...
Well, I think that they, a lot of times, they restrain what they're going to say. So they feel like they can't really talk. Sometimes they think they're better off if they just keep their mouth shut and fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid of not being likable. And this is nothing to do with the men. It's we're taught culturally, right?
Right.
Be likable, be a nurturer, smile, and don't make any waves. And so a lot of times women will actually not speak up for fear of saying something stupid or saying something that doesn't, you know, maybe it's pushing back on something. So a lot of times they're playing small and they downplay accomplishments that they have. There's all sorts of things. But, you know, there's that. But a lot of women come to me as well when they realize they've climbed the wrong ladder.
Really?
You know what I mean? They picked the wrong industry and they're kind of at this point in their lives where it's like, I don't love my career and I'm sacrificing a lot for it.
So they pick it for various reasons.
Yeah.
They don't know they're not going to like it.
Right.
Now, does this happen with a lot of people where they get into an industry, men or women? And then they change their mind. They're like, that's not what I wanted to do.
I can't tell you how many people call me who've completed law school.
Right.
Or they're lawyers. That is the number one thing.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
They're like, I thought being a lawyer would be, you know, it would give me the status, the security financially and everything. And they get there and a lot of them just,
disillusioned.
You know, I'm not saying all lawyers are miserable, but they're miserable and they've, you know, invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in their education.
They have to justify
and hours, an insane amount of hours.
And they feel trapped. And I tell them, I say, if you all of a sudden realized you were going the wrong way on a one-way road, would you keep going just because you already went so far?
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
Turn around.
Turn around.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, right.
But
all
they stay in it because they, it's, I think the status and the money is a lot of what attracts them to it. And, you know, and obviously, you know, when parents, when people say, oh, my parents want me to be a lawyer or a doctor, because those are esteemed professions. But at the same time, you're right. Not everybody's cut out for it.
No.
No.
Yeah.
They get into law school. I had one client say he went to his first class on the first day of law school and he had this, you know, feeling. It was like, oh no, I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
He completed the 4 years.
Really?
took a year to study for the bar, took the bar. And I said, did you have some like cultural family pressure or anything? And he's like, no, I just was taught that you finish what you start. Mm. So I think that's another thing too, right? If you find that you're unhappy in your life or your situation, whether it be a career, marriage, where you're living or anything, I think culturally it's not very acceptable to just stop and turn around and find
something else.
They think that it's quitting.
Right.
Where I think it's really courageous. And I think people who end their marriages or something like that, if they decide it's not fulfilling to them anymore, I think that's the most courageous thing you can do is to admit this isn't working for me anymore and I need to start over.
Yes,
I think having an exit strategy for something that you don't really like or backup plan is key because I mean, you tell me that you're stuck in this rut. It's not, that's not really living.
Right. And then the thing is that it eats away at your confidence.
Right.
Because you do feel trapped and stuck. And then you probably are performing not as well at work because you're not passionate about it.
Right.
So then some people even get to the point where they're laid off because they've just checked out, right? Because they're miserable. But then when you get laid off, it's like your confidence really plummets.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times when people come to me, they're, some of them can be at that point, and it's really about kind of rebuilding them and rebuilding their confidence and bringing things front to mind that they've accomplished.
Right.
And then once their confidence gets back up, it's incredible the things that will start to manifest and flow to them and opportunity that will become present.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're living their full potential then.
Right. Well, it's that huge mindset change, right, Elizabeth? It's like once you start believing you're worthy of something, things will start to come up.
I agree.
Makes sense. I wanted to ask you a little about the wage gap, okay, because you're like right in the center of everything. Mm-hmm. is it like pretty widespread where women get paid less for the same work, for the same effort, for the same background?
Well, I think statistically it is. Yeah. You know, all the research points to that. I think there are probably some pockets where that isn't the case. I know in my profession, I worked in health and beauty, which was in the cosmetics industry for a little while, skincare. And that, it was actually an asset to be a woman, right?
Right.
There are a few career paths where it's an asset to be a woman or even an older woman. It actually will be an asset for you versus something that's seen as a drawback. And in those industries, I feel like, yeah, compensation is, you know, pretty on par. But everywhere else, I'm not really sure. Because I only coach women, I don't really see, we don't really have access. I think the non-visibility of what the male counterparts are making is half the battle.
Right.
Nobody's talking.
Right.
And that's what companies want you to do. They don't want you to talk. They don't want you to know how much your counterpart is making.
Well, of course, you know, I mean, no company wants to show that, but whether it pays fairly or not, you know, you just don't want to. But you said the evidence suggests it is widespread, but you're saying we don't really know.
Right.
Right.
Well, I haven't done a lot of personal research, so I'm not really sure. But from everything that I hear and everything that I read, it's still incredibly prevalent.
Well, it's even in the entertainment industry. Women get paid less than the men do. Women wrestlers get paid less than the men do.
Really? So, I mean, how do businesses justify this? I mean, like, why would you pay? I mean, I wouldn't even think about it, you know, because it's like, either this is what you budgeted for this position or not, you know? I mean, regardless of who takes it. So why would people do this? To save money? I mean, it's not, you know.
It's sexism. It's basically.
But so you're saying they do it on purpose or to save money? Why are they doing this?
I think that this is my personal opinion, but based on the facts and articles, women do not get paid the same as men. And a large amount of industry.
Right.
I don't think it's been till recently where there's been an awareness. I feel like women have had to prove themselves more than men in certain areas.
Right.
And I think now things are changing. Now there's an awareness. I think women now are finding their voice and saying, you know what, this is not fair. And I think in the past, we were quiet. We were felt lucky to be in this room with all these men and, you know, trying to compete.
Right.
And I think now companies can't get away with it anymore because women are finding their voice and saying, we're done with this. We're putting in as much time and effort, you know, into this.
I don't think a company is going to voluntarily pay you more than they have to.
No, of course.
So I think what's really great that men have done is they've been their own advocate. And they are much more, 73% more likely to negotiate their base salary than a woman is. Mm. They also go after jobs, even though they don't hit all the requirements. So only 23% of women will even apply for a job unless they look at the posting or the description and see that they check every single box.
Oh.
Whereas men, 82%, as long as they have a couple of them on the list, they'll go for it. I don't even know that it's intentional. It's nobody's going to give you it if you don't ask for it.
Exactly.
That's what's wonderful. I think that women now are starting to realize, hey, the men are negotiating and they're getting these jobs and they're going after this stuff.
Right.
So I don't know that they're specifically trying to be sexist to women. I think it's just like, hey, if you're not going to ask for it, I'm not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
You know, so now women are starting to wise up a little bit more and be their own advocate.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I think. And that's interesting statistics. I had no idea. That's crazy. 79% of men.
Yeah. But we'll negotiate.
We'll negotiate.
Women don't want to do it because they don't want to come off as, you know, unlikable.
Right.
Oh, right.
So interesting.
Or they fear they might not get the job if they push back.
Wow. Right. Or they're too pushy for a woman.
But what they don't realize is employers are expecting you to negotiate.
Yes.
Every single one of them is expecting you to negotiate. But that is one of the hardest things I have to do with clients is really push them out of their comfort zone on the number.
Right.
Like, well, maybe I'll ask for $5,000 more. I'm like, no. We need to do like $25,000 more, and then we'll land somewhere in the middle, you know, but
you need to know how to negotiate.
Exactly.
Elizabeth knows the secret.
Well, that's why she does what she does.
Yes.
And good at it, you know. That's awesome. And so where did you move here from somewhere else?
I did. I grew up in St. Louis, and then I spent about 12 years in the Midwest in Chicago.
Okay.
And met my fabulous husband there. And then we just moved to California 2 years ago. We finally had enough of the winters. And at the time, we had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we were like, hey, let's try this out. So I was telling Elizabeth before we started the show, I think it was a wonderfully manifested move because we were at our wit's end. My husband and I just one night looked at each other and said, you know, we can't do this anymore. There's got to be something else.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were in a hamster wheel? Like it just wasn't.
Yeah. I just. Yeah. That was in Chicago. And I love Chicago. I think it's one of the best cities.
Yeah. It's a great city.
Absolutely. But it's gray a lot.
Right.
And I don't do well with gray. Okay. I'm all sunny like and positive. Yeah. I'll sit in traffic. As long as there's sun, I'm good. Right. So there was not a lot of sun there.
Okay.
And
that's
I think
good enough
it was,
reason, right?
It was. And so my husband, all of a sudden, the company he worked for was purchased by a larger company. And then poof, there were opportunities in California. Oh, and they paid to move us here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you did manifest this.
$150,000 move we manifested. Somebody just paid for it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
And then we got here and I quit my job in sales because I was schlepping to the East Coast every couple of weeks because that's where my buyers were. And I said, you know, I'm going to do coaching full time. And that was a couple of years ago. And it's just been... you know, a rocket ever since.
Well, you're officially a California girl now, two years
into
it.
I don't know. Do I get to claim that? Yeah. That's a pretty prestigious badge.
Maybe not a lot of experience here, but you're obviously going to stay here for a while.
Yeah.
You're soaking it in.
Yeah, I said there's no, you know, wild horses couldn't tear me away from California. Yeah. Sorry, we're stuck here.
I don't blame you.
On the other side, I'm getting ready to leave because, not because I don't like it here, but I've lived here over 40 years, and 40 years is a long time to be in one place.
Totally.
During that time, I lived in a couple of different places. I was in South Africa for a year.
Wow.
Yeah, I lived in Israel for a year, and then I came back. But that was under not great circumstances. I got divorced, and I needed to get away for a while.
Yeah.
You know, but essentially, I've lived here for 43 years. So there's kind of like nothing stimulating for me anymore. I love nature a lot, and we don't really have a lot here where you can go and there's no other people. You know, everywhere you go, there's like a million of people.
Yes.
There's traffic. It takes you an hour just to get out of town. It really does, you know, to get from here to the airport. It would take you an hour just to get out of all this traffic. So,
where are you going, Sam?
What's that?
Where are you going?
I was about to move to Oregon. I was that close, like a month away from it. And then something happened here. I had to let somebody go. And I realized, you know what? I can't live far and run the business from a distance. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I have people working here for me, they would do the day to day. I was thinking I'll do the, you know, but I thought, well, what if somebody leaves and then suddenly I have to come back now and fill in for all this stuff? So I realized I can't do it, but I'd been there twice. There's a place called Lincoln City. Mm-hmm. It's a coastal town, and there's a lake on the other side. So you have water everywhere,
I love water.
And that's what I'm telling you. So I found a house on the lake. On the lake. I mean, your backyard is like, you know, 5 feet away.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, 20 feet, but still. And you get your own dock and stuff, you know. And so it was amazing. For $1,500 a month. So, you know, so a three-bedroom house.
You can't even get a bedroom for rent for $1,500 out here.
You know, I mean, people with 8,000 people, I thought, I can dig this, you know. I mean, it's like the total opposite of L.A., and I'm ready for something a little quieter.
Yeah.
I'd found so many nice, secluded nature places that I just fell in love with it. You know, I thought, wow, you know. But then I also realized it rains a lot. It's cloudy a lot. So there you go with the gray again. You know? I like color too, but I love nature. I love water. So maybe eventually, you know, I'll move. But for now, there's nothing bad to say about LA other than really just the traffic is really bad.
What about like Big Bear or Tahoe or something?
I don't want to be in California anymore. No. Really.
He's like, right.
Yeah, let me get the hell out of the state completely, you know?
The coach in me wants to find a way to make it work. But if that's the dream, though, you got to find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, can I ask you, what made you coach specifically women? Like, what was that transition for you from being this incredible, you know, a badass lady boss, you know, working with these huge companies to now working with women? And
It's super simple, Elizabeth. It was because that was my experience, right? So that was what was in my wheelhouse. And all of my girlfriends that, you know, had the boozy nights with when they're stressed and they don't know what to do and they're traveling and all of this stuff and they felt they were under demands, I found myself coaching them. And they would come back later and say, that really helped me, you know, the advice that you gave or just listening and working through it with me. And so that's when I got my certification, and I actually had an astrologer tell me I should do it as well. You know, everybody in LA will understand
that. Welcome to LA.
But then when I started doing it, I saw that I was able to help people get pretty significant results. Most of the time it was just renegotiating their salaries,
right,
because they had a newfound self-worth, right? That
right.
wasn't there before. But I felt like I'm always on the side of empowering women, right? Which
right.
is this wonderful movement that's happening right now. And so I wanted that to be my life's mission. I felt like that was my calling. And not only that, I've got two little girls, right? So now they're 7 and 4. And I don't want them to have the same things, you know, the same obstacles or the same mindsets that I had when I was in sales. Like,
right.
it was to the point where I wanted to fit in so bad. You know, I'm like, I'm going to strip clubs, you know, with the guys, right,
wow.
so that I can try to be
fit in.
Yeah.
Well, and how many golf outings did I do that I hated? But I had to learn to do those things because that was where the men were and that's where the decisions were being made. So I had to mold myself into that. But now
that's a huge burden to have to fit in, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I came here at 16 from Israel when I moved, and I remember all I wanted to do is just fit in, you know? Just be like everybody else, you know? To this day, I still have an accent, so people always, the first question is, where are you from? And I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to fit in, to assimilate completely. But now when you look back, you go, but then you're like everybody else.
Yeah. Which is totally boring.
It's very boring. Yeah. You know, why would you want to be like everybody else? Yeah. You want to be you.
Authenticity.
Exactly. You know, right. and that's the point that, so what I wanted to ask you also is, you mentioned the C-suite, right? What does that mean?
So that is anybody with a job title of chief. So it's chief executive officer, chief marketing officer, so CMO.
So these are the top
CEO.
Executives.
Yeah.
Now, so do you have like any numbers for percentage as far as like CEOs? Women and men,
That would be interesting. That's interesting.
I'm trying to find it on my phone really quick.
Yeah, I'm sure it's easy to find on Google in 2 seconds, you know?
I'm sure it's less than 20% would be my guess.
Really?
We should Google.
Maybe even
okay,
less
I'm
than
I'm going to Google this right now.
Yeah, it's pretty
Because I know there's several big companies that are run by women these days. Is IBM still run by that woman or is it? Mm-mm. No, there's somebody else. Yeah. I know she didn't do that great. But and that's interesting in sales also. So, yeah, how did you get into sales? I mean, what made you?
You know what? Like most college kids, I kind of defaulted into the career path of the first person who would give me a job. And the company that did that was Vitamin Water at the time. So it was when I started, it was a startup.
Right.
And I moved to Boston to do an internship with them. And they said, you know what? When you graduate, I went to Mizzou in Missouri. They said, if you move to Chicago, we'll give you a full-time job. So the day after graduation, packed up my car and drove to Chicago and, you know, pulled a flyer thing, you know, at a Starbucks, found an apartment, moved in, and then started with them. And it was this wonderful opportunity. There were visionaries there. One gentleman by the name of Darius Bykoff, Mike Rapoli, and Rohan Oza were really the three dreamers that brought Vitamin Water to life. And throughout, it was such an invaluable experience, not only because I learned how to sell, you know, everything from stocking shelves at 7-Eleven. Like, I saw one on the way here, and I'm like, oh, I have a sweet spot for 7-Eleven. I used to stock those shelves with vitamin water and Smart Water. But I started as an intern, right? And then at the end, I was Coca-Cola had acquired us, and I was calling on, you know, Disneyland for Coca-Cola and Walgreens for Coca-Cola, these huge national retailers. And I was like 26. You know, but it was great. They loved that I was so young and that I was somebody that was with them through, you know, the entire rise. And that was what really triggered my entrepreneurial spirit. I think anybody who's worked for a small company and loved it, you know, if you have a calling to be your own boss or do something, then that's
you got to go for it, right?
Absolutely. That entrepreneur mentality.
Exactly. And like you said, if you feel it's your calling, it's not good for everybody. It's not going to work for everybody, you know?
Yeah. Well,
people
I have the
are
stats.
Different. Yeah, okay, let's hear them.
So it says women held 6.6% of Fortune 500 CEO roles.
Yeah.
Wow. And senior management, 20%.
Yeah.
Wow. So she's right about
the
20%.
Yeah. Yeah, you were right on the money.
When was this taken?
This was taken, I'll tell you right now. This article is from...
But see, that's why they call me, because they need help navigating it, right?
Exactly.
Because there aren't a lot of people to talk to about it.
Oh, this is in 2019. So it's their brand new stats,
6% are CEOs.
Fortune 500 companies, big companies. There's lots of female entrepreneurs right now, which is incredible.
Right.
And it's definitely growing. And I think, to your point, it's getting better. More and more Fortune 5 and Fortune 1000 companies are looking to diversify at the top.
Right.
But a lot of it is, I think, too, there's household duties as well. Women just naturally tend to take on more of, you know, I don't want to call it a burden, but the child, the house, you know, all of these duties.
All the domestic duties.
So sometimes you're getting offered. That's the other thing, is a lot of women come to me and they're getting offered promotions, but they know that if they take it, it's going to be a huge personal sacrifice.
Right.
They're going to miss their kids growing up, kind of a thing.
Right.
And so they come to another crossroads where they have to make a decision, career or family.
And isn't that part, though, of the wage gap, because women's lives are too, like, it's hard to put your entire life into the career like a man does, right? Because you have those other responsibilities.
Exactly. And most men, too, and I've just noticed this in my husband's field, too, you know, the travel part, a lot of times the higher up you get, the more travel you have to do. And a lot of the gentlemen have stay-at-home wives.
Right.
So they just fill up their calendar with
travel.
Exactly.
They have no responsibility. They just do whatever they have to do. Well, yeah.
Yeah. The role they've taken on is provider, right? I'll take care of all the financial stuff. You know, manage the children.
But it is the choice of the woman to do so, right?
100%.
Right.
I'm sure also with especially women that are married that come to you and want to, let's say, move up career-wise, it's got to be an adjustment for the husbands, too, because they're kind of used to having the woman at home or being able to, and once they, it's an adjustment for everybody.
I have one client now, that is her biggest issue, is her husband is he's starting to get resentful for the amount of travel that she does, and she does international travel. She has a huge job with a huge company.
Yeah.
And it's not about how do we get her to the next level, it's how do we
deal with
expectations and have really authentic conversations and say, I don't want to give up my career. So I'm going to need you know, what do you need to feel comfortable with this? Is it getting an au pair? Is it getting, you know, like getting help for the husband?
Right.
But that's another huge factor that women typically have to give more, you know, consideration to than men is, if I go, what happens at home?
Yeah.
You know? Versus,
and it's hard if you don't have a supportive husband, too. But, you know,
it's critical. Yeah. Sheryl Sandberg said that in Lean In, right? If you don't have a 50-50 partner, like my husband is a 50% partner. He's incredible. And, you know, he's doing pick up and drop off today so I could be here and all of this, you know. But anytime I do anything, he will cancel a trip or move a meeting because it's my business is equally as important as his.
It's a team. I think a marriage has to be a team. Sometimes it's 80-20. Sometimes it's 50-50. It's
I like 50-50 better.
Yeah.
She does.
No, but I mean, some days, you know, it's like, yeah, you're right.
But there's, I think there's traditional roles that parents should play, you know, continue to play and stuff, you know. And the mother is usually the nurturer, and whether you like it or not, that's just the biology. And so, you know, people make decisions and in their lives and decide, you know, I'm going to stay with the kids and, you know, and so forth. But I agree with you. And it's just like they say, you have to have a 50% partner. And it goes the other way too, you know. You got to have a woman behind you, you know.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have your basic needs met as a man, you're probably gonna not succeed as much, you know.
Right.
That's why I can see, like, for example, Jeff Bezos paid his ex-wife so much because she was there for him when, you know, she had to sacrifice when he was building the business. So she totally deserves half.
I think she earned every penny of it.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I don't think he argued.
No. And then she signed that wonderful pledge to give it all away, right?
Right.
Like the same one Sarah Blakely and Warren Buffett, I think they're going to give away 90% of it. So it's like, how can we not applaud that? Right.
Right. Yeah. But not what, I mean, why not give it away? What can you do with that money anyway? You know, you might as well help people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You always have to give back. I believe in giving back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like how much money can you really, I mean, if you have like $1 billion, you know, do you really need all of it?
No.
You can spend it possibly if you wanted to.
Yeah.
In your lifetime.
I think it was Bill Gates that said, after a million, it's all the same hamburger. Right?
Like,
I like that saying. Yeah.
There's like life-changing money, right? Probably, I think they say when you go from, they've shown happiness studies, like after, if you go from $50,000 a year to $75,000 a year, your happiness goes up like 20%. From 75 to 100,000, it was like 10%. And anything over $100,000, it stays the same. It
stays the same, right?
No matter how much money you have.
Really? Even if it's life-changing, though?
That's what the statistics say. I think it's Sean Archer who's does this whole thing.
It's probably the level of happiness. Yeah, the level of happiness, yeah.
I think that money doesn't make you happy, money alone, but money gives you freedom, and freedom gives you happiness.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes hand in hand. And I think after a certain amount of money, if you have the freedom, the rest of the money is just
not
going to make a difference.
Yeah, you still go to the same parties, drive the same cars, you know.
The same hamburger.
Exactly. That's what he meant, you know. So that's interesting, you know. I wanted to ask you in sales. So was it easier or harder for you to sell being a woman?
You know, I actually thought it was easier.
Yeah, right? Because it opens more doors. I mean, men feel less threatened by women when they're in sales. I remember that at least in the old days when people would do like cold calling and stuff, you know, just kind of come out of nowhere. Nobody wanted to deal with a salesman, you know? I mean, it was the worst thing.
I'll tell you, Sam, I think there was a couple of tiers to it. It was easier to get my foot in the door, I feel like, as a woman, right? Because I did all sorts of things to get buyers' attention, right? Like sending them, you know, Starbucks delivered and samples, and I was just really persistent with them. But then once I sold the product in, negotiating things, that's where it was no longer an asset, I think, to be a woman, because they didn't really take me seriously.
That's what I was going to ask.
And I was like 24, you know, and I'm trying to negotiate margin, you know, for a huge retailer like Target.
And probably and with men that are double your
age. I'm the only woman in the room, and they're looking at me like, no. We're not doing that. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
We'll just kick you out of the store.
Yeah, get the hell out of
She's
here.
She's 24. Beautiful blue eyes.
Blonde hair.
No.
So it was twofold. It was like it helped getting in, but then once in, they didn't take me as seriously as I hoped they would.
But it now gave you all this chutzpah.
And then I needed my boss, who was amazing. But they would kind of, you'd see that in meetings. I would be presenting something and they would be looking to him to check for approval, like he's my dad or something.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
like, hey, he's, you know what I mean? He's here.
And that didn't happen with the men. You didn't notice that happening with men in the room.
No, not so much. That was my specific experience. And again, this was, you know, a few years ago. But no, I didn't. And even some of my clients now, I mean, they just happen to be gorgeous women.
Right.
And they're finding, like, some of them are in med device sales and things like that as well. And it's the same thing. It helps them get in the door. They get the meeting, you know, or they bump into somebody at a trade show or something and they get a coffee with them. But then once you go to do the big ask, right, for the sale, or you're negotiating the sale, then it becomes something where it's easier to kind of just blow them off.
Right. So now what you have now, by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Elizabeth Pearson, and we're joined by another Elizabeth right across from me.
Hey, it's like, Elizabeth Square Root. Yeah.
And you guys didn't know that. Only I did in advance. There'd be two Elizabeths in here.
Poor Sam, he's got Elizabeth squared up in his studio today.
No, but it's not poor Sam. It's easier to remember just one name. You know? And I have her name written down so that I remember, because my forgetfulness sometimes gets the best of me, you know. But so what do you do now? So you have your own company?
Yeah, so okay. I have my own coaching business. And then I'm also
writing
a
book. What's the name of your business?
It's Elizabeth Pearson Executive Coaching.
Okay.
And then I wrote a book, which I'm working with a few different agents right now trying to decide which route to go. But hopefully that will be published soon.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. And then on the side, I'm making a kids' clothing line that has, you know, just for the fun of it on the side,
yeah,
Sam.
I know.
I'm not busy enough. That actually showcases female leaders instead of princesses.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. What is it going to be called?
So it's called Woke Kids is the name. But
oh,
it's
my
about
God.
Like enlightened minds, right? Teaching kids who the real change makers are, right, versus striving to be a superhero or a princess or something that's never attainable.
Right.
But
right.
A princess always has to get saved by the prince.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so.
And that's fun for imaginative play.
Right.
But it was mostly my daughters that would ask me, they, you know, at this young age between 4 and 7, they're trying to decipher, is that person real or not?
Right.
You know, and so we go to Disneyland, as many people do here in LA, and they see Elsa, you know, or Cinderella, and they're like, is she real? And I'm like, well, no, she isn't. That's an actress.
Right.
You know, and then we would read, you know, works on Gloria Steinem, Maya Angelou, things like this, and they would say, are they real? And I loved it. Yes.
Yes.
They are real. But they want to be able to wear it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Kids love stuff.
Woke right. Kids.
So, but at what point do you do that? Because it's not bad for them to have that imagination
all
the fantasy and stuff, right?
I just think there needs to be a counterbalance.
Right.
Reality. Because I think it's wonderful for them to dress up and imagine that they're in this fairy land, you know, of Disney or whatever. But at the same time, you know, they can never grow up to be a princess.
Yeah.
Like there's no,
right,
but they can grow up to be a Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right.
You know, or Sonia Sotomayor, or a Kamala Harris.
Unless they're Megan McClure or something, then they could be, right? The princess.
You forgot
about her name already.
unless you marry royalty.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so that in itself.
It can
is,
happen,
like,
but what's the odds, right? Yeah. There's only so many princes out there.
But little boys, too. I mean, little boys can't grow up to be Iron Man.
Right.
Like, you
or
know,
Superman
so,
and stuff.
So
yeah.
Let's talk to them about Nelson Mandela and all these amazing, you know, right, Bill Gates, people
yeah,
that they
there's
could
room
grow
for
up
both.
To be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's room for both, absolutely. And it's good that they will know, you know, and it gets their mind going, because then they look at the exceptional people out there, you know, that created things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So how can people find you?
It's super easy. It's just my name, ElizabethPearson.com.
Okay.
And if it's somebody, if there's any guys listening to, it's what's wonderful is I have a lot of husbands reach out to me and they say, my wife is struggling, right? She's doing 100 million things.
Right.
And they will actually book an introductory call for their wives because their wives are too busy to do
amazing.
It.
That's amazing.
And then, so if there's anybody out there that just kind of feels stuck.
Right.
I have a question. What is the, would you say the age demographic where like, since you work with women specifically, do they decide this is not working for me anymore? Would you say it's around like early 40s? Or there's something
that's such a good question, Elizabeth, because I would have said that. And in the beginning, it was like 40 to like 55.
Right.
But what's wonderful about this millennial generation is they are waking up sooner and they're saying, I'm a year out of college and I don't like what I'm doing.
Right.
So they come to me and we get ahead of it and we can tweak it and put them in a completely different industry before they've wasted 10 years of their lives.
Right.
So parents also get coaching for their recent graduates.
Right. So that I need that with my son. I mean, it's like totally, maybe I can talk to you or something, because I saw you dealing with women and stuff, but who cares? I mean, he's 26.
I have male clients.
Yeah, he's a 26-year-old boy and or man, young man. And I think he's stuck too, you know. And I told him, I said, you don't have to pursue the major, what you majored in, you know, because you can still utilize what you learned and everything.
Right.
But, you know, if there's no room for you in that kind of industry, find something else, you know.
Or passion, right?
Yeah,
that's what drives us. That's what wakes you up in the morning. Like, you want to have that passion to do what you love.
Yeah.
People so rarely give themselves the space and the time to figure that out. They just default into something.
Exactly, without thinking about it, right?
And
you need
you
a plan,
And it's 5 or 10 years and you've wasted so much time.
People don't understand. Wasting years is a waste. You can't get it
can't
back.
Can't get it back, no.
And not only that, you guys, uncertainty is... It's a form of suffering.
Yeah.
So people come to me, and when they're uncertain, they're suffering every day.
It's paralyzing.
It is. And once you get clarity and you can get a plan, you get there so much quicker. You go further, faster.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, I love the explosion of coaches, especially here in California, because it's people who can help you get that plan in place.
Right.
And so you can go quicker.
Right.
You can go further.
And you can align the right career to who they are, their personalities, right?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, is that people don't understand. It's not enough that you want to do something. You also have to ask, do I have that kind of personality? You know, do I like to help people? You know, do I like to work on my own? Do I like this? It all matters.
Yeah, I think we're all born with certain gifts. Yeah. You know, I say it's the golden ring. Everybody has a golden ring. It's hard to figure out what it is because we're so conditioned to people telling us what we're going to be good at that sometimes we forget to ask ourselves, like, what am I good at? What is that golden ring that I was born with? And I think when you figure that out, that's where you can find success and happiness.
And then the money comes. That's the thing. Some people say, I want to be a painter, but there's no money. The money will always find you. If you're aligned with your passion, whatever your son is passionate about, that's the other thing too, is people might have a lot of different things and it's really kind of distilling it down into where his skills are and which ones are transferable.
Exactly. And not what
industry.
He thinks. So, you know, he took like biochemistry and he says you know, he wants to work in a lab. But then I was saying, so he worked in a lab, didn't like it, but it's because he was overqualified. They gave him like repetitive work and he hated it, you know. But still, I told him, I said, just think about it. Do you really want to work in a lab all day for, you know, 10, 12 hours a day? And he might, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, but other people do. That's the people that make all the medicine and everything, you know, somebody has to do it. But also, you know, when you do like a career test or something and you realize that some people actually like helping other people. So they're the ones that become caregivers and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I could never be like that, you know. I mean, I help people, but not cleaning up their junk.
I was going to say, your show's helping people. You're providing wonderful content.
No, absolutely. Oh, I have no doubt that my show is contributing to society, to the betterment of the world, you know? We all can get some laughs.
Sam's changing the world, yeah.
Yeah, you know. You'll see from all the people that actually listen, it's, you know, it makes a difference to them, you know?
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Spend the hour listening to us. It's amazing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're almost out of time. Elizabeth Pearson, check her out at elizabethpearson.com.
Elizabeth, will you spell it? Pearson, Elizabeth?
Pearson is P-E-A-R-S-O-N.
Elizabeth with a Z or an S?
With a Z.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you with a Z too?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because there was one applicant that sent me Elizabeth with an S, and I thought, I need to remember that, you know, because, yeah, you know, you don't see that as much.
No. She's probably from Californian. Because yeah. Everybody has to spell their name differently out here. Yeah.
Like hippies and stuff, right? That's where it started, you know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, we could talk for hours, yeah, man, but... Elizabeth, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This is so fun.
Yeah, I told you we'd make it worth your while as far as getting down here, you know?
Yeah.
If you could start your morning like here, like this every day, you know, why not, right?
Absolutely.
So at least, but you can't do it every day, but every once in a while. And we invite you back anytime.
All right. You know, come back. Be careful what you ask for.
There's a lot you can still share with us, I'm sure. Yeah. You know what? Come back when the book is coming out,
that.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's for actually, sure. The title is I'm Too Busy, 10 Mindset Blocks and Bullshit Beliefs That Keep Us Stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
She thinks if she whispers bullshit, nobody will hear it.
I should ask her to say that.
Just say bullshit.
You can say bullshit. They can say whatever they want on this show.
You know, some people.
Elizabeth, one more time.
The kids line is called Woke Kids.
Woke Kids.
It's just wokekids.com.
I just love that. Yeah, and is it just for girls or both girls and boys?
There's going to be boy characters as well.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Sam, thank you.
Of course. You're amazing.
This has been so fun.
Thank you
fun.
For, yeah. And so do you still miss Jersey or are you like?
No, you know, I really never felt rooted anywhere, but I do feel rooted here. This is the longest place I've ever
lived.
So
how long
have
you been here?
I've been here over 22 years.
Okay. So you belong here.
Yeah. 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 I'm a native now.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're all LA people now, and you guys have to deal with us whether you like it or not. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.